Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to kind of a new podcast going on. We're going to talk James Bond today. And you know what? There isn't enough Bond content coming out on What Culture. So I've got together with one of my good friends, Neil, who I've worked with for, like, it feels like over a decade now. And he's joining me to, we're just going to ramble about Bond. And this is going to be something that we do for, say, like, every like fortnight, maybe even more if there's more clamoring for more Bond stuff. As you know, we're all waiting 100,000 years for No Time to Die. But I should stop talking and let Neil introduce himself. Neil, who are you?
Hello, my name's Neil James. I'm pretty much a lifelong Bond fan. I do a bit of acting, a bit of writing, and a lot of Bond watching.
Yes. You're one of those people that watches it every year? Do we watch them all every year?
I have done for about the last, I think probably about 5 years ago, I decided I'd get them all on Blu-ray. Yeah. So I watched them all when I first got them. Then did a rewatch with some friends. Every other week we went round and like watched four a day. We watched four a day for a while. Last year I watched them again. And I wasn't going to watch them this year, but then lockdown, COVID, everything like that happened. And I was feeling a bit down and, a bit miserable in, I think, like April, May. And Bond got me out of it. I think I am at that stage where I'm watching them every year.
It's weird because I hadn't watched most of them for so long. Like, only really GoldenEye that I'd gone back to, sort of thing. Like, I don't get me wrong, I love me some, but I've got the encyclopedia for it back there somewhere. And I owned them all on VHS, them all on DVD. I haven't gone to the Blu-ray stage yet because I just can't bring myself to do it. I think I was renting them on Amazon and things like that. But going through them all again, because I was full on hog. Getting them ready for No Time to Die, and then obviously it got delayed the first time, which I mean, how many times has it been delayed now? 7 or 8, something like that. And going back there, we thought today we would go over and not do a retrospective of the whole series. Maybe we'll do that down the line, but more talking about the Craig era and how that sort of like how that started, how that came about, and how that sort of like left Bond as a sort of entity, as a property sort of thing. Like, I don't know about you. Have you only ever ventured into the films? Have you ever touched any of his games and anything like that? I said his games, the games he's in.
His games. I'm not a huge gamer, but when GoldenEye came out, not sure what year. You probably know what year. You know the
N64 game.
Yeah.
If you looked, because we're audio only, but you can see there, that right there is GoldenEye N64. Yeah, just living there. That was 97 it came out. So it came out 2 years after the film came out.
I certainly played a lot of that with friends, but not a huge gamer. I am into the books. I've read the Fleming books. They're obviously, I don't know if you have, they're very different beast, but they are worth reading. They're very dated. They're quite controversial now, but but I think it's the films really. And like you say, the Daniel Craig era, it's been a weird era. It's almost like there's three eras in Daniel Craig's era, I guess. There's Casino and Quantum, then there's the Mendez era, and now and No Time to Die if we ever see it.
That was interesting what you said about the three eras, because I hadn't thought about that in like that way until you mentioned it, like, and mentioned it in passing last night. And I think that is actually sort of like a really weird sort of like, I don't really remember any other Bond. Maybe you could say Roger Moore had three eras because he was Bond for about 100 years. But like, yeah. Say, that's, I think that's a really interesting point to pick off. And like, what would you sort of like, would you compare, like, say, this is this sort of era, we say, is better than one of the others for Craig or something? Like, what do you think of the Craig as a whole and everything like that?
As a whole, I really like him. I really like him as a Bond. I've enjoyed his era. It's just been a very frustrating era because of the delays. The Casino Royale came out in 2006. And I mean, that's possibly the happiest I've ever been in a cinema watching that film for the first time.
Really?
4 years after Die Another Day. And I just kind of thought Die Another Day had maybe killed it. It was a very controversial kind of film, Die Another Day. I know some people like it. I don't mind it. I'm not a hater of it, but I do find it difficult to watch.
That was a weird one for me, because that was the second Bond film I'd ever seen in the cinema. So I was still very hyped for like everything that leading up to that film, I was ready for. And I think even after watching it a few times, as still as a kid then, I thought it was fine. Rewatching it this year, that film, I've come to learn how weird and what was why, what was going on sort of thing in that during that one. Like they certainly were stepping on eggshells, like going after North Korea and saying, making them the baddies and sort of thing, and changing entire like these certain Korean characters just becoming like random different men, like Gustav Graves chewing the scenery wherever he could. But yeah, it's so funny to see like how we all agree that like Bond's influenced like so much around cinema, right? And how it seemed like Casino Royale was just taking, well, not taking, but sort of like borrowing from others like the Bourne franchise, and how they basically swept away everything apart from Judi Dench and pretty much started again.
The Judi Dench thing, it doesn't make sense in terms of continuity, but I just don't think you can sack Judi Dench, can you?
Not until she bowed out herself, because she's finding it hard to read now. So that's like the reason we lost her in Skyfall. Yeah, one thing, the Craig era, it's weird because we are coming up to, I can't remember, I think it's like almost 6 years now without a Bond film. It's five or six. The longest gap we had before this was between License to Kill and Goldeneye. And it's just so weird how it's turned out with Craig saying he'd rather die than do another one of these films, slit his wrists, which I think a bit dramatic. Like, we've never had any specific reasons why he dislikes them so much, have we? Has he ever actually specifically said why they're hard to do? Or are they just taxing on his body, sort of thing?
I mean, I think physically he's been injured a lot during the filming of them.
Yeah, every film, I think.
Yeah, I just think after you make a film like that with you as the lead in probably 90% of the scenes, it's just really hard. And you know, I'm sure he loves it, and I just think sometimes a reporter might stick a microphone in his face, you know, or maybe he does it tongue in cheek just to wind the press up. I've no idea, but I think he likes it. I mean, he's gone back for No Time to Die, which I was really pleased about. I didn't really want him to go out on Spectre. I think he's had a great era, but a frustrating era to have five films over, what are we, 15 years? It really should be more. And we were spoiled with Brosnan because, you know, we got for Brosnan's first three, we got one every 2 years, which was just amazing. You know, and then when we had to wait an extra year, 3 years for Die Another Day, you know, that was like, what? 3 years? And then Die Another Day came along. And like I say, I thought it might have killed it. And then we had this 4 year wait. They announced Daniel Craig, who I didn't really know. I'd seen him in Layer Cake, which, you know, I thought he was brilliant in. I could see the scenes with him holding the gun. Road to Perdition, he's in. I'm not sure if that had come out at that point. Yeah, it must have. So I knew he was. But I was still a bit, what's this going to be? And I went to see Casino Royale, and I was so happy. And I think I went to see it again like the next day and ended up seeing it about four times. And I was just over the moon. It's not only my favorite Bond film. It's just one of my favorite films ever. Casino Royale.
Favorite Bond film. I say it's controversial. I mean, like, some people could, like, it's like, especially, I wouldn't say it's weird, but especially you being an older Bond fan than me, sort of thing. Like, you've got a lot more love for, like, the who is Timothy Dalton your favorite?
Dalton's my Bond. I'm 41. So yeah, I was about 8 when Timothy Dalton took over. First one I remember was A View to a Kill, and I remember, you know, my mum used to take me to the video shop at the weekend, and I was allowed to get a video, and, you know, I saw this picture of this, like, old guy standing back to back with Grace Jones, and was like, I want to see this. And I hired it out, like, every weekend for about 2 months, and in the end my mum got sick of it, and then my granddad had told me that there was other Bond films, which was like, what? So I remember, like, my mum ringing round video shops saying, have you stocked Bond films? And then she found one in Kinston, near Bournemouth, which was about a half an hour drive from where we lived. And yeah, we drove out there one Saturday morning and hired out Goldfinger in For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah.
Watched them, and then after that, it was just recording them on VHS off the TV. But Dalton was my guy. So yeah, I always find people that are a bit younger than me love Brosnan, absolutely love it. I think I was 17 when GoldenEye came out, but I think if you were kind of somewhere between 10 and 15, those people love GoldenEye, absolutely adore it. I like it, don't get me wrong. I love it, but I know some people are feel like that, how probably I feel about Casino Royale. And then obviously 2 years later, Quantum of Solace. Again, I thought, this is fantastic. We're going to get a Bond film every 2 years for Craig's era. I like Quantum of Solace better on the small screen than I did on the big screen. I was very confused as to what was going on with.
I agree with that one. Yes.
Yeah. But I like it on the, I don't have a problem with it on the small screen. You know, I'd love to see a re-edit of it, but I'm a fan.
It's funny because, do you know what I hate about Quantum the most? Like, what really drives me about Quantum is it had delays, right? And like the writer, I think Daniel Craig had to do write part of that film himself.
Yeah.
But why couldn't they, in this perfect chance, get that film out in 2007? Why was it 2000? Like, yeah. It's weird. I know it's all this thing, like, why would you not even obviously money and all that, because Casino Royale came out in 2006, didn't it? Like, maybe why not wait for that film and have that film come out in like a January 2007, you know what I mean? Like, why did we lose the only time we're ever going to get a 007 year and not release a Bond product in 2007? It always jars me that they missed that year.
Yeah,
but Quantum was a weird one because they were like, this isn't Spectre, but we really want it to be Spectre, but we don't have the rights to Spectre. And it was just kind of like a meandering sort of, we're like, let's pay homage to Goldfinger by covering some woman in oil, and it's pretty much like almost a direct sequel to Casino Royale. We got, you know, the mysteries of Mr. White and things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely got its flaws, but I mean, yeah, you're right. It is a direct sequel. It's the nearest we've had to a direct sequel over the whole series. And that's why I think Casino Royale and Quantum are their kind of own little era. Both of them got very rocky theme songs. It's before kind of Daniel Craig, I think kind of the Mendes years, you know, he's got a lot shorter hair. The suit's got a lot tighter. But it's good. And I mean, like I said, I watch Casino Royale a lot, more than I watch Quantum. But yeah, Quantum works. I mean, it works as a sequel. It's just, yeah, I understand people's gripes with it.
I always
defend it a little bit.
I think Spectre's better. After watching them all again recently and then watching Spectre and going, I like Spectre a lot more now, you know, than I originally thought I did back in the back watching cinema. Well, we're jumping ahead. We should probably like quickly touch upon Skyfall, you know, that the little film Skyfall, the highest grossing Bond film ever, the only one to break $1 billion. I mean, if you adjust a lot of them to inflation, a lot of them do come close, I think have broken that much. Like, it's weird to see some of the general consensus, like talking to people that I know and work with, that they just, some didn't assume Bond to make that much buck, but they do.
Yeah.
And for Skyfall to just boom and break that much, I what do you think? I don't, first of all, I've never actually asked you about Skyfall. Do you think Skyfall works as a like Bond film? Do you think it somehow breaks out of that mold by being its own standalone movie? What do you think helped it just basically take over and become the echelon for Bond in like the public eye?
Yeah, I mean, it came out same year as the London Olympics, didn't it?
Yeah.
And do you remember the opening ceremony had that that scene with Daniel Craig and the Queen and yeah, things like that? And I just think that was a year that certainly in Britain, we were all feeling very, we were all quite happy. I think it was a happy time. We hadn't had a Bond film for 4 years. It came along and it was really good. And I don't know, there was just something about it. Adele, obviously, you know, was a massive star at the time. So to get her to do the theme was a massive coup. It's a strange film, Skyfall. It's got a very strange third act for a Bond film.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Do you know, also, the groundskeeper, do you remember his name? I'm trying to picture.
Kincaid.
Kincaid, there was rumours that they were trying to get Connery to play Kincaid at one point.
Yeah, I heard those rumours. I mean, I don't think I'd have liked it. I don't know. Kincaid's weird anyway, because he kind of comes out of the corner of a room. I always found it a really strange entrance that he has. They're in there and he just comes out from under the stairs or whatever. I do love Albert Finney and it was a great performance, but it's just a strange final act. A lot of it took place in London, Skyfall, which again, I think, you know, really tied in with that London 2012 Olympics. And it was just really cool. Bond was back and I thought we were back on course. And then we had another 3 year wait for Spectre.
I think 3 years is going to be about the time now, unless they can get down into more of a, I think the only reason we got like, say, this new Star Wars films every 2 years, because Disney just made a production train and they just did them all at like similar times. But because Bond isn't so much which I don't think it should be, more direct sequels, like I don't mind the 3 year wait, because it's still like there are so many of them as it is sort of thing. And but yeah, it's weird, like I said, oh, well, you have to wait 5 years for this film. It's like almost like sound like spoiled kids, but you know what, they used to get them every year back in the day.
Oh well, but, yeah, look at those first four. I mean, what a time that must have been to be alive and be going to the cinemas.
Yeah.
Like the first four in 4 years, man.
But then you burn out people like Connery and they never want to be involved again until they come back twice.
Yeah.
But with Spectre, I take the lead on this one. It's weird because I think the opening song is crap. I don't like it at all. It's the only song I don't own. I have bought them all and they're all on my phone, but I can't get with the Spectre theme. And I try to listen to it. I do these things where I just put it on. I just can't get with it. Something about Sam. Is it Sam Smith?
Yeah. I agree. I don't like it. I've actually heard it done, covered with a female voice, and it works much better.
Yeah. It's just something about that. But it's so weird that we finally got Spectre coming back and Spectering the Fold, and how Quantum was all just Spectre, you know, because we couldn't say that word beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of retconning going on, which, you know, trying to make out that Silver from Skyfall was working for Spectre, like, I was a bit like,
Silver,
don't leave it alone.
He can be his own entity. I think he's up there as one of the greater villains. We should say leading villains rather than like sort of henchmen.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, and they've also up until this point, I think even in every film, they've managed to get at least a JPEG of Mads Mikkelsen in the film. Like, oh, Le Chiffre, because you have his picture at the end in MI6 and. I hope he's getting royalties for his face being used over and over again. They probably saw that. But it was just, I thought the casting of Blofeld was also so perfect of...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The name has escaped me as well now. I'm terrible at this.
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz, yes. Like, after his two, like, performances in the Tarantino movies, that's literally propelled him up there for everyone, especially the Western audiences, because, like, he's been in a lot of, like, I say West, Germany is in the West as well, but he's been in a lot of, like, German films sort of thing, and to see him in that role. Now, I don't hate it at all, but I also hate the fact that we have to try and because we have so many cinematic universes now and all this blah, 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 we have to try, people can't help but try and, like, timeline bond and, you know, where they take place and the reboots and sort of things. And I think with Bond, I don't know about you, but especially this Craig stuff, like, sure, it might be a pseudo reboot, but I think you can just take out as a stride in each Bond film, which is the Bond mission out of time. It doesn't matter.
Bond hasn't got a very good history with continuity at all. It doesn't really worry me. I think he was a good bit of casting for Blofeld. I just wish they'd let him be Blofeld earlier in the film. I don't understand I don't quite understand what they were going for by refusing to say he was playing Blofeld. Star Trek did it a little bit with Benedict Cumberbatch and Khan, wasn't it? You know, so he's not playing it. And I
Hans
just thought,
Gruber, wasn't it? Was his name? I think that was...
Hans, no, that's Gruber. Die Hard. That's Alan Rickman in Die Hard. His name was Oberhaus?
Oberhausen, so.
Oberhauser.
Hans
like
Gruber, I don't know why I even said that.
That's Rickman. That's Rickman in Die Hard. But, I don't know. The film was called Spectre. He was cast as the villain. Every Bond fan knew he was Blofeld.
Yeah.
And casual fans probably didn't care. So I'm just not sure what in the cinema when he finally said, you know, I am Ernst Stavro Blofeld, like, you just heard audible groans from everyone. Was just like, yes. Like, I don't know if Sam Mendes or the producers thought at that point in the cinema, everyone would go, what? Oh my God, mind blown. But everyone just went, yeah, okay. I just don't know who they were trying to impress.
come on, there must have been a bit of you. Like, what if he's Blofeld's brother or something like this?
I wanted to see more of him. I'm glad he didn't get killed off at the end.
They shot a scene with him dying in the film. I'm pretty sure they've come out and said that. Yeah, we did shoot a scene where he died, but I think that's just such a waste. I think they should be less shy to just put some villains in the big villain prison. You know, like what sometimes comic books villains get, you know, and they just get put in a box and you're over there now. And every now and then you could bring him back, like...
You could be in there with Zorin and Goldfinger and Largo. They could all just be...
I always had this fantasy as a kid. Like, I would draw, like... Because A View to a Kill was one of my favourites. And I loved... I loved... I can't remember his name now. Christoph.
Chris Walken.
I loved him as Zorin, and I would draw, I would try and draw like a Zorin who has like had parts of his body replaced by like mechanical arms and stuff. Like, because I was thinking, might be able to survive falling off the Golden Gate Bridge, maybe.
I'd like to see some of these drawings in a future.
I could redraw them. I think they've all been lost to time. But then it's also like, you think of the henchmen, because they brought back the classic idea of the recurring henchmen throughout the film and not dying, even though they get hit in impossible ways. What do you think of them? I don't think you're a wrestling fan at all, are you? So you don't watch.
I know the bare bones of it, but no.
But like, so as me who had watched wrestling for years and seen Dave Bautista in that role, it was quite funny to see that also. And I don't know if I could ever separate the character from Bautista, but I want to know what you thought of his character. I think it was Drax.
Yeah, well, I think it's the first time in.
Hinks.
Yeah, that's it. I think the first time. Daniel Craig's actually come up against a unit. Yeah. because Daniel Craig's so massive himself, you know, you never really worry for him in you know, when he's physically fighting anyone else. But yeah, that fight on the train's fantastic. It's probably the highlight of the film for me. I think it's absolutely amazing. And he's sinister. Yeah. I mean, he's a sinister guy. I mean, that, you know, the thing he does to people's eyes with his...
Bombs out the eyes, yeah, of his extended... I mean,
that's horrible. Yeah. That's really, you know, for a Bond film, that's a bit like, wow, yeah, it's horrible. I don't think he's dead.
Do you think he's alive? Because he just goes, I won't say the word now, just in case we have to censor it later on, but he does the rule of, like, if an actor speaks, they get paid more, obviously. You know, you've got to have at least one line, or is that it? I don't know if that's still a cardinal rule, but I know that was for a long time where speaking roles get dramatically more than, like, say, non-speaking. But you think he's going to come back? Because I've watched that again recently. I think that he might pop up again.
Yeah. I hope so. I thought he was fantastic. He was a great presence. And, it was just really nice to see Bond go up. You know, we needed someone for him to go up, someone big like Oddjob or Jaws.
Yeah,
you know, that's just a unit. I don't think Brosnan ever did either, did he?
Brosnan, he didn't have a unit. But I'm going to say like Natalia on the top. Zinya on top. Sorry, she could go stand toe to toe with him. I can't remember. Is it Stamper from
Stamper? But their fight's a bit weird because they're kind of hanging off a bomb, aren't they? Like,
yeah. Who else did he have? He had recurring character. He had Zukoski that came back. I mean, they never actually had a fight, but you know,
yeah, like, Zhao.
Renard. You know, he can't feel pain, so you know, he's invincible. Not like Boris. Boris is actually invincible. I have to now talk about henchmen.
Is Boris in your imaginary prison, but still frozen?
Yeah. You can unfreeze. You can defrost them. Like, there's so many of these bonds. Like, I have always, especially after playing the game Everything or Nothing, I don't know if you've ever seen anything from that.
Yeah, I have. I've seen it reviewed,
When they bring Jaws back in that game. Like, just imagine if they had brought Jaws back at, like, say, I mean, it wouldn't have suited the Timothy Dalton stuff. So maybe, like, say, Fiore's Only. Because I can't say it. Fiore's Only was a weird misstep because I don't think it suited the Roger Moore Bond at all. And, like, just... Something like that, bring back Jaws and just have Jaws bouncing around for a bit.
Well, that's one character that is definitely alive.
Yes, even though Richard Kiel is more.
No, he's no longer with us, but yeah.
But we should probably do one at one point on like recurring characters, because there's General Gorgo as well. Like, he was like, I don't know about you, but he's one of my personal favorites, just to see him turn up, have a little bit of a smile, somehow in the midst of the Cold War, gets into San Francisco. This leading Russian general and turns up for a cassette tape and fails about that. That's always a weird one for me, but
yeah,
I would love to see them do more of this recurring character stuff outside the main cast. And I'd also say with Spectre, it reinforced me that I'm glad that the we have a new unit of MI6 operatives now. We've got a decent Q, Moneypenny. Ralph Fiennes, I think, works as M. I think it's a new take, and it's like a more of a headmaster than like sort of like the mother figure, which Judi Dench was. And we should, I don't think we could do an entire pod on it because I wouldn't want to spoil the film for you, but I want to get some of your predictions for No Time to Die as someone who hasn't seen any of the media bar the posters.
Yeah, so yeah, so No Time to Die, I'll tell you what I do know about it. I've heard the song, heard Billie Eilish's song, quite like it. I think time will tell whether I, yeah, it always takes a while, but
I love the song. I think it's great.
Yeah, I haven't seen the music video to it. I can't wait to see it over the actual titles, you know, and that's got a lot to do with, I think, whether I'll end up loving it. Haven't seen any of the trailers. I think there's been some TV spots. I think there's been some clips released. Haven't seen any of that. I've seen the posters, heard the song, and I do know certain cast members. So yeah, I know. I don't know. Am I allowed to say it? Like, it's, I guess. Spoiler alert! I'm about to say some cast members.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you, yeah. I'm cast yeah. members for me, I don't think are spoilers as such. No. But yeah, I think you can go for it. Like,
but I'm just saying. So I know Jeffrey Wright's coming back as Felix.
Yeah.
And I know Christoph Waltz is coming back as Oberhausen.
He's gonna be in the box. He's gonna be in my prison. We just need to have everyone else turn up. Zoran in there.
And I know Lea Seydoux's coming back as well. So, yeah. I mean, there's three that aren't part of the normal team. And then I'm sure, you know, the MQ, Moneypenny and Tanner guys are back as well.
Lea Seydoux's all over the marketing for that film, by the way. So, yeah. Like, unless someone's been in total, total like, hideaway like you have, I don't think they would have avoided it.
Yeah.
But I think most of the people that you've mentioned are on the poster as well. Like, so, I mean, I would say it isn't a spoiler, but, you know, it's, some people are very picky about the spoilers. So you know nothing about the film.
I don't know anything about plot or anything like that.
Guess the plot. You should just give me a bit of a guess right now before we go.
Jeez. I'll get, this is probably wildly wrong. One other thing I know they filmed in Jamaica because I watched that weird kind of press call that happened in Jamaica, which was
didn't they go to Goldeneye, the actual Ian Fleming's place?
It was just a bit weird though, like they were all sat around looking really awkward. It was weird. But yeah, so I know they film in Jamaica. Okay, well, at the end of Spectre, he's left the service, so I'm sure something's going to happen to bring him back in the service. Whether that's revenge, you know, are they going to kill off Madeline Swan and he comes back to get revenge? I kind of hope not. I've seen enough of Daniel Craig out for revenge.
You know what I've also seen enough of? Bond having to go against MI6 and go out on his own. Like, I've realized that happens a lot throughout the 24 films so far, and I'm kind of done with that. I like it when they're all friends and happy.
I'd like him to get called into the office and given a mission and go and do the mission. But I know that's not going to happen because at the start of the film, he's not even going to work for MI6. So I know we've got to get him back somehow. I just don't know, and that's what's like saying to you last night. This is the first time I've ever done this. Normally, I'm all over everything in terms of, you know, I would have watched the trailer 100 times now, even more. I mean, the trailer's been out for so long. I've done really well to avoid it. Watch, I'll probably accidentally watch it tonight. I'm so up for going into the cinema and not having a clue what I'm going to see. I'm massively excited about it.
I almost want to ask you an opinion of a rumor. I don't know how much of a rumor is a reading spoiler, so I don't know if I can even go that far. Like, there's one rumor that I've heard that I don't know how legit it is, but I'm going to talk around it. There's great listening here. But if that happens with a certain character, I'm not going to be happy with. I don't know.
Okay, so you've heard a rumor that you were like, I hope that's not true.
Yeah, about a certain character. It's not about Bond or having a new Bond or anything like that. It's none of that sort of thing. It's about a different character in the film. And it's weird. I was saying this way, it would tie into, it would reinforce that these films are a reboot when, you know, every film is sort of all over the place, as I would like to say, sort of thing. even though that we have had continuities throughout some of them where Judy Dench somehow was in from the Brosnan era to this era, and it's they've also an interesting thing is like we've always had a recurring, there has always been a recurring actor throughout every film where it's been like Desmond is Q for most of them, then Judy Dench.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Carried the torch, and once Craig bows out, we'll probably have Ralph Fiennes back as them, so he'll continue, or Ben as Q, so we'll have that sort of lineage continue.
Yeah, but never have a film that's had no one from a previous film in.
Q helped that a lot, but I think it's weird. I hope they don't try. It's weird because I hope they don't then try and reboot Bond again next time. I think just carry on. I don't think you need to explain it as much. I think maybe some of the younger audiences want that sort of thing, but I don't think that's what Bond needs to be. We'll have to wait and see. And I won't dance around anymore because I don't want to spoil anything for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Cheers.
Anyone else that is doing the same thing and going to have to wait another 100 years for this film to come out because... they need to make at least 600 million, or is the MGM and some other people might go out of business.
I can't even remember when it is slated for now. Is it
April?
April.
Yeah, I think. February 2020. That's why I'm wrong there.
Okay, right.
I think it was meant to. It's now been moved to the weekend that the Fast and Furious film was scheduled, and then Fast and Furious had to go and then get out of the way, which is weird because Universal was putting out both these films. So they were eating out of their. They were just. Like eating out their own pocket there. But that is, I think that's going to be it for our first. I just want to get your opinions. Do you think Craig has left Bond in a better place than he picked it up? Do you think he's...
Definitely, yeah. I think he's added more fans. I mean, every time a new Bond comes on, they add to fandom.
So you think Brosnan was crap then? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think... No, I've, like I say, Goldfinger brought plenty of people on board. I think Casino Royale again, Skyfall, people are coming. It's just frustrating the time length between them. I know I keep going on about it, but yeah. I mean, I know this can't be helped. And I think it's right. They want people to see it in the cinema, and they want people to feel safe in the cinema watching it.
Yeah.
It's just really weird to know it's out there, it's ready, it's finished, it's been finished for months and months and months,
and nothing's leaked
just
here,
on a little DCP somewhere, and no one's seen it. It's nuts.
Don't say DCP because you give me flashbacks to my old job when I've been making a DCP at 3 a.m.
Okay.
Deadly tired.
I don't know if DCP is a bit of if people even know what DCP is, but yeah, it's the little hard drive, I guess, with your finished film on that goes off to cinemas.
Yeah, yes. But we'll do a DCP podcast at one point, but I think we should wrap up there. And I also think that Daniel Craig has left it in a good spot. I'd say it's weird. I don't know if I would rank him at number one on my Bond list, because I think wherever, I'm just going to say here, my favorite Bond film is GoldenEye, but the best Bond is Roger Moore. And I think that's where I should leave that probably non-controversial opinion right now. And that was the first in this Bond podcast. I don't know if we have a title for. I might make up one on the fun that I'm going to make for this later on. But I have been Ben Murray. You can find me at Ben Murray Teller on Twitter and wherever else. And I've been joined today for the very first time by Neil. Where can people find you, Neil?
You can find me on Twitter at NeilJames83.
Okay. And that is going to be us for today. I'm going to say that this podcast probably will return, but we'll let you know. We'll see you all in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
Well, we won't see you. We'll hear you because you can't see us.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.